GotCoin goes live, a milestone moment in ethical cryptocurrency. In this episode, Temple Melville reveals how ScottCoin is revolutionizing charitable giving through innovative token economics and shares inspiring stories of impact from clothing distribution projects to sustainable food initiatives. Discover how ScottCoin is building circular economies, bridging with major crypto platforms, and creating real-world change across 54 countries. I'm your co-host, Anthony Pearl, and this is the Ethical Crypto Podcast. Well, hello, everyone, and Temple, welcome.
And good morning to you, sir.
I suppose we've got a lot to talk about, really, because ScottCoin is out there officially, but what a journey it's been.
Well, yes. No, I mean, very exciting. Just we're about 6 weeks in from our listing on MEXI. How we even got to MEXI is a story in itself. And we're really pleased because MEXI is our top 10, even a top five most of the time exchange for crypto. And that really means something. And there's a lot of things have flown from that, which is really, really nice.
Well, we're going to come to the journey in a little bit, but I want to know, firstly, where are things at right now and where's it going in the immediate future?
Well, we've deliberately said the listing is not the end of the journey. The listing is just the start of the journey in many ways. We've done everything we can to make it right, touch wood. We've got very good partners with people we work with and so on. The really nice thing about it is that the reason that we're on MEXI more than anything is that they really like what we do. And that is such an important thing from my point of view, because that's what we're all about. We're all about helping people, all about making things better for people. And we're all about trying to make the planet a little bit greener and people a little bit better off. And they really got onto that. They understood that from the minute they actually approached us and said, listen, we've read about this. We love it. We want to do it. And it's, you know, an amazing thought. So that's where we are. We're very definitely, I mean, even since we've listed, we've managed to do two or three other things with various charities. We had two lots of clothing, big lots of clothing, total of about 5,000 items, which went to two different charities. And, you know, we had very nice feedback from them, of course, but why wouldn't they if they get something like that? And we're not about giving people money. We don't think that works terribly well in lots of cases. And what tends to happen is that it gets used up in various ways of, you know, administration and things like that. What we do is we give people ScottCoin for the product and they're delighted because they can do all sorts of things with it. And we're delighted we're able to then use the product that they have. So that's our way forward. There's quite a few other things that are happening, what I would describe in a technological way. For example, we are in the middle of a program to create a cross-channel bridge. We'll be bridging Solana, which will put us into the Radium pool. We think it's going to be a really good thing from ScottCoin's point of view. We're also on Uniswap, which is working quite well. In general, I mean, we've got a nice turnover on the exchanges. We've got a nice take up, you know, and the people we're working with are all happy. That's the main thing. You know, that's what we really try to do.
I think it's important for people to understand the impact that you're making, but talk for a minute to the people out there who are listening, who are intrigued by the idea of what this is, but maybe don't fully understand how it works. So give us that insight about what the actual way that you see ScottCoin working now and into the future.
Well, there's two strands here, I think is the best way to describe it, is that before we were listed, the main strand was we would go to, for example, clothing manufacturers who had excess clothing they wanted to get rid of. Now, this is one of the big issues with clothing, that all these people who make clothes always have stuff that they're trying to get rid of for one reason or another. You know, it's really bad. A, it's bad they produce more than they need. And B, it's bad that in most cases just burn it or bury it or whatever, you know. So, and in fact, it costs some money to do that. I mean, here in the UK, if you say I've got, you know, and so many hoodies or whatever it is. You know, there's licenses, there's all sorts of things. It costs money. So what we do is we were going along to them and saying, no, you don't need to do that. Give us what you've got. We'll give you Scottcoin. We'll give the product to charities and various other entities. And, you know, you can then use the Scottcoin in your own ecosystem. And they've tended to do that. And they, quite a few of them have got what I call the 10th cup of coffee syndrome. So you buy a t-shirt and you get 100 Scottcoin and you build that up. And when you've got 1,000, you get a free t-shirt. And that's a really nice ecosystem, which is circular and it's really good. And that will continue. The nice thing now is that the people with the doing the clothing will be, if they wish, be able to sell Scottcoin. Now, to date, none of the people who we've paired with, shall we say, have indicated at all that they want to sell. They're quite happy to have it within their armory, shall we say, of marketing methods. And, you know, that's really nice as well. But the other way we're working, and we have this, in fact, in our white paper, deliberately say that we will have what we call preferred partners. Now, a preferred partner just means somebody who will accept Scottcoin in exchange for their goods and services. So, for example, one of the things we're just working on at the moment is with a very large milk producer, a baby food producer. And the idea is that we will be giving Scottcoin to people who are in need of getting free milk, effectively, and free baby milk and formula and so on. And the whole point there is that we give the tokens to the people who need the product. They go along to various places which will be made out as to which places will accept it. And they go in and they say, please give me 10 pints of milk, or please give me bottles of baby formula or whatever it might be. And they get it and they exchange it for Scottcoin. And then the people who are accepting the Scottcoin, again, it's up to them what they do with it. Obviously, it's their money. And we'll decide what they want to do. But in general, we think they'll probably work on a similar circular economy type.
Which is fantastic. You know, that's the ability to make that impact and thinking about things in a completely different way by giving that up and then people ultimately benefiting from it. I think this is it's closing a missing gap, really, isn't it? That's existed in the marketplace. The people have wanted to do something, but you know, there needs to be a value attached to it, and this is a nice way of doing that.
Yeah, the one of the things we think and we're quite sure about is that people need respect. And in order to do that, you have to have some method of giving them something, not for free as such, it feels nice. You pay for something, that's good. You know, it's a good thing. We've found, interestingly enough, we have a project which is a shop where you can go and you can pay in Scottcoin, or you can pay in cash, or you can pay in food. In fact, you tins of food, and they've got a whole range of things, clothes, food, you know, furniture, all sorts of stuff. And you can get it. And that's been very successful because people understand that it is not just money you need to make things work. You need to have goodwill, and you need to have effort, and you need to have people who add time and trouble in. And fortunately, we have a lot of people who do that.
And is ultimately seeing then the value because of the impact you make in the rise of the value of Scottcoin itself?
Yes, we've been doing this for a long time. Scottcoin originally started in 2013, although it's not in the present form. That's when it started. We got involved in 2016. And from our point of view, we said at that time, this is not a get rich quick scheme. If you want to get rich quick, you know, don't do it. We've stuck to that, and we get a certain amount of snash, is what I call it, from people saying, why haven't we done this? Why haven't we done it? And the short answer is because in the short term, yes, it might put the price up, but in the longer term, you know, probably not. So we're very keen to have a steady exchange rate. We're very keen to have an ongoing commitment to make it work. And we're very keen to have people who recognize that and are not you know, what we call punters who just come in and go out and pull the rug and that's it, you know, no use at all. So from our point of view, we're, hang on a sec. From our point of view, we're very pleased with the way things are going at the moment, because we've seen a very good turnover. I mean, it's, you know, it's a lot of money every day, which is great. You know, we feel quite confident that it's a long-term situation, not a short-term situation. And we've also, the other thing we realized quite early on is that simply giving people money, I mean, one of the problems we have with dealing with charities and various other charitable type institutions is that the thing they want is money, because they have overhead expense, which is, in quite a lot of cases, a lot of money. You know, for example, some of the charities have sort of about 60% goes to the charity, 60% goes to the what they're trying to do, and 40% goes on admin. And we don't think that's a very good idea. So we've worked quite hard to get around that, and we feel that we've done quite a good job on that.
Yeah, I think that is an important thing, isn't it? Because in the traditional models, a lot does go on administration.
Yeah.
And that is a, you know, it's been a flaw in the system, and often unrecognized by people who are giving money to organizations, not recognizing that administration makes up a very large percentage at times of what needs to be done.
Yeah. Well, we at ScotCoin, none of the management take any fee, any director's fees, any expenses, anything. You know, we feel that's the right way to go.
So talk to me then about the longer term strategy. We've delved into where we are at the moment, but where do you see ScotCoin going into the future? How long is it going to take to get to where you see this vision happening?
Isn't that a $64,000 question? Maybe it's a $64 USDT question nowadays.
Maybe it's a $64 million ScotCoin.
Yeah, well, one. It could be. Yeah, who knows? Anyway, I think the short answer is that it's as long as it takes. The way that our tokens are set up is that there is what we call treasury. Now, the treasury, once we have finished doing the current vesting of the tokens that exist, will be around figures, 150 million tokens. Those 150 million tokens will only be released at the rate of 1 million a year. Now, it's very easy to work out that's 150 years worth. And so we're quite sure that that's happened, you know, over the time. We'll be long gone. But hopefully there'll be people who want to take it on. The other point about that is that the first 1 million won't be released until 1 year after listing. So in other words, it'll be next February time. February 2026 before any get listed. And the other point is that anything that is not used in the year will get burned. So in other words, there's not going to be an overhang. We won't suddenly find 5 years down the line there's about 10 million waiting to get locked off or whatever it is. They just won't be there because they'll be gone. And we think that's important, because it's important to maintain a solid basis for token. There's no point throwing tokens all over the place and disappear down the drain. So we're very pleased with that. So we're very pleased that we're going to have a long-term future basis. We continue on a daily basis, I may say, to have discussions with various projects and people and shops, you know, and manufacturers and all of that, in order to extend what we can offer people in the way of, you know, food, all sorts of things. And that is an ongoing project and will continue as long as I'm involved. But the other thing that's really interesting, talking about going forward. So we listed, and, you know, we could hardly get, there was a lot of people who couldn't even get to talk to us because they said, well, once you listed. And all of a sudden, the day before when we announced we're listing tomorrow, I got flooded with people saying, oh, right, okay, you're listening, right, let's talk about this, that, that thing. And I mean, I've spent the last month doing nothing virtually than talking to people about different things. And there's a lot of them for one reason or another, just that the fit isn't right. This isn't quite right, or that's not quite right. But we do our very best to make sure that what we do work with works well. And that's, you know, I think quite important. The other thing that's absolutely fascinating to me is, so, as I said, Mexi is a top 10 worldwide, very big, you know, millions of customers, billions of turnover. Because of that, we have, I mean, I couldn't give you the exact numbers because I haven't bothered to count them, but it must be 30 or 40 other exchanges have come to us and said, hey, I see you're on Mexi. How would you like to be on us? You know, and the short answer is some of them we probably might, but an awful lot of them, you know, wouldn't want to be. And there are different reasons for being listed on different exchanges. For example, I mean, Mexi is a worldwide one. We appreciate that. There are certain areas where it would be good to have a presentation. So I'm slightly making this up, but let's just say it would be good to have an exchange that concentrated on people in Singapore, for example, and got somebody good to there. It would be good to have a European-based exchange for a variety of reasons, and we're talking to somebody there. So there's different reasons for, and those are not big exchanges, they're relatively small exchanges. Point is that they are serving a niche, and a niche is a very important thing. I mean, that's how people make fortunes, is by servicing a niche. So we're really hoping that one or two of these people will come to fruition. There's no reason why they shouldn't, but you never know. And we're going to be very pleased indeed to have them on board with us, and we hope they will be pleased to have us as well.
And there's nothing wrong with the scarcity model, which is, you know, in part of what you're saying here, with both in terms of where it's listing, but also in terms of making sure that what's not used in a year is not carrying on to the following year. So that scarcity does add value and also heightens the niche.
Yes, I think so. We believe that you can never be 100% sure about these things. I don't even know how many tokens there are out there now. I think it must be approaching several hundred thousand different tokens that are available. Admittedly, only the top, you know, let's make it up, 200 are worth anything worth talking about. But there are literally hundreds of thousands of them. And most of them are, totally useless. I mean, what are you going to do with them? And we believe, and as I say, I stress we believe, we are the only crypto that has what we call an ethical stance. People talk about different tokens. None of them focus on helping people or doing good or anything else. And we would be delighted if we wouldn't die if we remained the only one, because it would be nice to have other people talk to. But in general terms, we would be delighted as long as there are people who are prepared to use crypto in a more, broader minded way than just saying, oh, we'll sell the crypto and give that to so-and-so. Because that's, to me, that's a waste of the resource, as it were. There's so many good things you can do with crypto. I'm sure you all, I bang on about this because I'm a bit of a geek. And I talk about a thing called VIR, W-I-R. Now, VIR is a Swiss-based crypto. It was not a digital crypto, but it started in the 1930s when there was no liquidity anywhere. And these were a group of Swiss businessmen who got together to try and continue to keep their businesses running. And they very successfully did. And now, 80 years later or 90 years later, you can go into a shop in Switzerland and say, oh, I'd like that sofa, please. How much is it? Oh, it's 1,000 Swiss francs. Fine, here's 700 Swiss francs and 300 VIR. And the shopkeeper will say, yeah, thanks, Jay. That's lovely. Thank you very much. And deliver your sofa for you. Now, he then goes to his suppliers and buys a spring or whatever he buys, a cloth, whatever it might be, and pays in VIR. And the VIR ecosystem in Switzerland is something like $20 billion a year now. It's huge. The 7,000 businesses that use it, there's probably approaching 1 million people use it. And it's, you know, it's great. And we would love to be doing that. We think that's a perfectly valid way of working, and works well. And we, in fact, we've got little tiny mini bits of it here and there where we bought something for ScotCoin and the people have then used it to do something else. But it's in its infancy. It's tiny at the moment, but we'll get there. We'll get there. And that would be my, I think the right word is that would be my dream. But in, 20 years time, we've got, lots and lots of people accepting ScotCoin, not just in Scotland, but elsewhere. I mean, interestingly, one of the areas where we have had what I describe as a great success is in Nigeria. Now, lots of people have got sort of negative feelings about Nigeria for a variety of reasons. But we were very lucky and we found an extremely good young man who really believes in what we're doing. And he has his own system and sort of ecosystem in Nigeria. And there are, he has people that accept ScotCoin for phone contracts and, all sorts of things. And that's fantastic. I mean, that's, why not? And of course, to a certain extent, I suppose, the banks in Nigeria are not that easy to deal with and one thing or another. So something like ScotCoin is an absolute boon. And I'm really delighted with what he's done.
It's exciting and I think that's an interesting point as well, is that, you sort of touched on it there, but ScotCoin, while carrying the obvious name and linkage, the idea is that it does go beyond Scotland.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the great thing about crypto, of course, is it doesn't stop at the sea or even at the border. It's everywhere. It's absolutely everywhere. ScotCoin has something like 54 countries where it is held by a variety of people. And interestingly, they're not all Scots. I mean, I when I started all this, I kind of thought to myself, lots of Scots in the world, they all want it, blah, blah, blah. But very interestingly, it's not just Scots. We have, what I would describe as foreign nationals in lots of countries that hold ScotCoin. And I'm always asked, why do people hold ScotCoin? I've no idea. I've really no idea. I mean, I guess there's those who sort of thought, if I buy it now, it'll go up, I'll sell it. But there are definitely those who like the idea of what we do. And before now, and we'll probably do more of this now, we had a thing whereby somebody wanted a product that was relatively expensive. So I'm making this up slightly, but just to give you an example, charities have always got these gazebo things when they go to events. And they're about, between all the bits and pieces, about £1,000. So that's quite a big hit in one go for anybody to take. So we kind of crowdfunded it. So we had people who were happy to pay £10, £20, £30, £40 to get that organized. And that's wonderful. That's truly wonderful. So we gave the tokens to the charity. The charity then crowdfunded it themselves. And it worked absolutely perfectly. I'm sure we'll do more of that because it seems to work.
I love that. So tell me more about some of these projects that are ideal projects that you'd like to be working, on and into the future, because you've talked about a couple of them, but yeah. Are there some dream ideas that you'd like to pursue in terms of how you can make an impact with it?
Well, I'd very much, as I mentioned the one about the milk and the baby food. And that I think is a really good thing to be doing. But we also, we work with lots of people. We work, for example, with a charity which provides mental health for young people. And part of what they do is they work in a garden. So our task, if you like, is to provide what they need in the garden, and that includes manure. And I'm always, I love this, what do you do? Oh, I buy manure. But the funniest thing about that was the first time we did it, they wanted 1.5 tons. And we got in touch with the people and we had a bit of a chat. Anyway, they said, oh, yeah, no problem. And they delivered 15 tons. And so this poor garden could hardly actually cope with 1.5 tons, never mind 15. But they, being reasonably resourceful people, got in touch with other garden projects. And of course, everybody was delighted. They all got this free manure. It was fantastic. That's the kind of thing I really enjoy. But there are lots of other potential uses. I mean, one of the great things about crypto is that it's targetable. So whereas, if you, just making this up, if you give money to a charity that's digging wells in Africa, obviously there is costs that they have, and there's costs for sending the money to Africa, and there's costs for this, costs for that. If you do it in the direct way, so if you get a hold of the person who's actually digging the wells and say, look, here's 100 quid, or what it might be, in crypto or in whatever it is, the local currency, A, they get the whole amount. B, it goes only to that project. It doesn't get siphoned off anywhere else. And the costs of doing that are minuscule. I mean, I was doing something the other day and I had to send a sum of money to, it was actually to America. It doesn't make any difference where it is. It's the same everywhere. And I can't remember exactly, but it was going to cost me £200 or £300 in the, what I would describe as the conventional TradFi way. And I thought to myself, hang on, this is, and it was going to take 10 days. And I thought, hang on, there must be, why are we doing this? And I then sent it using crypto. It cost me $1.93, and it was there within 10 minutes, or 5 minutes even. I mean, what's the drawback? And in fact, interestingly, I had a conversation with somebody the other day who was trying to set up a bank account with one of what I would describe as the TradFi banks in the UK. And there was, it was incredible the amount of carry on there was. There are still hurdles you have to jump through if you want to set up, an exchange list. Sorry, if you want to set up an exchange account, you have to go through KYC, Know Your Customer, and AML, which is anti-money laundering and so on. And that's absolutely right. You have to. But once you've done that, you could do what you like. And it's a huge difference to the, what I would say is over-regulated situation. And in fact, funnily enough, somebody just, I noticed on LinkedIn, put up an article yesterday, the day before, saying Europe as a whole is over-regulated in terms of finance. In many ways, that they're going to lose out. They will lose out, no question. So we're doing our best to avoid that, and we're doing our best to make sure people who really need help get it. And there's an expression we use all the time, which is quantitative easing from the bottom up, where the people with the least get most, and kind of think that's the way to go.
I think it's amazing the impact you're making. Before we wrap things up, I'm going to go back to the beginning of the conversation. I want to hear a little bit more about the journey, the immediate journey and the lead up to all of this kind of happening and going live, because there's a fair bit that happens in that, I guess, the few weeks in the immediate lead up to it.
Well, it's not the few weeks. It's actually, if you like, the few years. It's very interesting. I mean, there's a lot of stuff people don't really, everyone thinks you just go, oh yeah, listen, that's it. But it's not like that at all. There's an awful lot of stuff you have to do. You have to comply with all sorts of things. And the exchanges themselves put you through quite a serious inspection, I think is the way to describe it. One of the things that came up out of that was that our, because we are the ScotCoin Project CIC, which is a community interest company, and we are regulated by the Charitable Commission in Scotland, which is called OSCR, Office of Scottish Community Relations and stuff. Anyway, the exchange said, well, we think you need to have somebody look at your memo and articles of association. And those are the rules by which your company is governed. And we did. We said, fine, no problem. And we got somebody to have it. Now, you might think all that takes is somebody spending an hour reading it and going, yeah, or no, or whatever. Anyway, it took us 2 months to get it into the shape that we wanted it to be in, and you know, everybody was happy with. So, you know, there's 2 months that's gone. And, you know, that there were a number of things like that that happened. But what we do know is, having done all that, we are what I would describe as in perfect shape as far as, you know, all the regulations are concerned. We have an LEI number, you know, all this sort of stuff. It's all important. It all matters. And it all hopefully breeds trust. So that was part of our journey. So the way that, I don't know if all the exchanges do this, I think it probably is, but MEXI, for example, only announced the day before listing that, you know, we are listing Scottcoin tomorrow. So on the 11th of February, we put out various social media and various things telling people that was what was happening. I mean, that was the point at which I started to get hit with all these emails from dozens and dozens and dozens of people, which is great. I mean, it was super. It was just what we wanted, really. And then the next day we had the listing. Now, one of the most important things in listing, they call the market makers. So if you just simply throw your token onto an exchange, all that happens is that, you know, everyone goes, I can sell it. And they sell it. But the problem is, you don't want them to sell it. You want them to buy more, if anything. And so you have to have somebody who manages the market. They're called market makers. And we have an extremely good relationship with our market makers. We've been talking to them for more than 2 years. We've had lots of, I might almost say heated, but I don't mean heated nasty. I mean heated passionate discussions about various different things. The really great thing about it is that what we've ended up with is a very good relationship with them. They are extremely supportive of us. They come to us with ideas, with different thoughts, and so on and so on and so on. And these are not all things that are immediately manifest. They are things, you know, we don't just say, oh yeah, fine, okay. We go away and we think about these things and we look at them from all sorts of angles. And we look at them from different aspects as well. You know, is this good for the long term of the project? And if it's not, we don't do it. Or we don't think it is. We can be wrong, of course. But that is a really, really good thing. And it was a very exciting, that day, the 11th of February, was a very exciting day. If anything, the listing on the 12th was a bit of a really. But the 11th was the exciting day as far as I was concerned, because suddenly it became obvious that this was really something. This was big. And I was so pleased when it all worked and it all went well. You know, we just have to hope that it continues.
Well, what an amazing journey it's been. What an amazing journey it's going to be into the future. So I think we better wrap things up. But thank you so much for filling us in on this episode of the podcast.
It's a great pleasure, Anthony, and I hope to speak to you again in the near future. Take care.
Thank you to Temple Melville from Scottcoin, and thank you for listening to the Ethical Crypto Podcast. Don't forget to check the show notes for all the information on how to get in contact with us. And of course, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode.